As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's get ready to podcast!
If you're going to go stick your head in the sand like that, get out of the sport.
Mike Coppinger.
It's creating a huge mess. It's absurd.
No, you're wrong. So
it seems like a cash grab.
You need to turn up and you need to be on it.
We just started going at it.
You got to go eat.
The Pug and Cop Boxing Show on The Athletic.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pug and Cop Boxing Show. This is Mike Coppinger alongside Lance Pugmire. And sad to say, this is the final episode of the Pug and Cop Boxing Show after almost 2 years. Yeah, it's been a long journey, and we certainly appreciate everyone listening. But it's going to be my last day with The Athletic next week, so this will be the final show, and we hope to go out with a bang. Lance, what are your thoughts as we reflect on this final episode?
Yeah, Mike, I mean, obviously, you know, we've been friends longer than we've been coworkers, and, you know, I'd always hoped to be able to work alongside you. And these last 2 years have been so enjoyable. I mean, it's really been a pleasure to see you, grow into the great journalist you have been. There's not a better newsbreaker in boxing than yourself. And your enthusiasm and love for, you know, the craft is something that, you know, it has defined who you are. And I'm older than you, so I can say this. I'm just very, very proud of you. And, I've learned a lot from you. You've made me a better reporter. You've made me a better writer because, you know, what you've done on the pages of The Athletic, so to speak, have pushed me to be greater, to be smarter, to be more plugged in and connected, all the things that you are. And, you know, parting ways is going to be very difficult. It actually, you know, makes me kind of sad, but I'm very, very happy for you. And you're going to be great where the journey takes you next.
That is like really nice of you to say. I appreciate it. You know, I've known you for a long time now and learned a lot from you, of course. You know, you're always a mentor to me. And, you and I always talked about getting to work together and do a show of some sort together. And I'm glad we got to do it. Wish we got to do it a little bit longer, but I'm happy we got to do it. And, you know, let's make this last one a great one. But, yeah, by the way, first off, I want to say you had an excellent story in The Athletic today on Vernon Forrest. I thought it was one of your best ones yet. Vernon Forrest and Al Haymon, very underrated fighter. So anyone who hasn't read it, please go read that right now. Vernon was a great fighter, and I believe he was, like you said, Al Haymon's first client in boxing. And, you know, obviously tragically murdered 12 years ago. So really touching story to commemorate his legacy, both in and out of the ring. And you guys can read that right now. But Lance, first off, well, I shouldn't say first off. We just said first off, maybe second off. But next up, I would say, is, you know, you were in LA this week for the, I guess, now infamous Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder press conference. I did not attend, but just from watching on YouTube, it seems to me to be one of the more zany press conferences in recent memory, and not saying a lot for boxing. So can you take the listeners through what the hell happened there?
Yeah, very bizarre. I mean, you know, look, I mean, and I talked to Tyson Fury about this when all was said and done. What's interesting to me, Mike, is that, you know, obviously as we're preparing for their trilogy fight, July 24th at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, and this is going to be a joint Fox and ESPN pay-per-view fight. You know, the first time they fought, there was a lot more goodwill in play. I mean, Tyson Fury was very appreciative as he came back from the throes of depression and alcohol and drug abuse. And Deontay Wilder had given him an opportunity to fight for the heavyweight title. And there was a lot of goodwill between these men. And it was an epic fight, Tyson Fury raising from the canvas in the 12th round to preserve a draw. Then, you know, the second fight, things got a lot more tense, I would say. Still, you know, you could see that these guys were more friendly than they were, you know, bitter rivals. And Tyson Fury wins that fight. You know, you were there as well, knocks him down twice, and then finishes him in the seventh round when Mark Breland throws in the towel. Now, before this fight, you know, we know, and you've done a hell of a job reporting on that, how, you know, Tyson Fury was in negotiations to fight Anthony Joshua. That falls through when an arbitrator rules that Fury owes a trilogy fight to Deontay Wilder. Now there's a lot of animosity, and I would say a lot of bitterness between these guys. And it definitely came to light at this news conference, because while Tyson Fury, you know, wanted to remain in a playful mood, he actually came on stage shirtless, which was classic. Deontay Wilder is in no mood. And like his trainer Malik Scott said, he said, "I need him to be in a violent mood, and he is in a violent mood." And Deontay wanted no part of this news conference. He made a couple statements, a couple sentences of a statement, you know, saying that there would be bloodshed and he's basically going to decapitate Tyson Fury. But then he would not answer any questions from the moderator, Christina Poncher from ESPN and Top Rank. And he would not agree to take any questions from the reporters, either while on the stage or afterward. While Tyson Fury granted us probably about 15 minutes of quality time, Wilder just kind of like ducked out. I know he spoke to a couple people that I believe he was obligated to speak to backstage. And then he also gave some interviews to some YouTubers and some other podcasters, who we can get into that a little bit. I want to talk about that in a second. You know, it was a disappointing appearance from Deontay Wilder, because in my opinion, what he did was, Mike, is he's embracing this role of victim, as if the world's against him, as if, you know, he has made these allegations that Tyson Fury cheated with manipulated gloves in their first fight. I think he's trying to just, you know, pit this the me against the world attitude, which is fine. Do whatever you got to do to be motivated. But I think he should know that there's a lot of people that he thinks are against him are not against him. They look at him as a great heavyweight champion who reigned for 5 years. They respect his power, and they're looking forward to this fight again. So I think he's doing whatever he needs to do to get fired up for this fight. But what he truly allowed was for Tyson Fury to define the narrative. And Tyson Fury was able to say, you know, look, he sees a scared individual. He sees someone who is unsure of himself. He doesn't know what to say. He doesn't know how to answer these reporters' questions. And that's why he went to the silent treatment, to avoid all of us and to avoid those hard moments that maybe were going to come if he was subjected to the hard questioning that most of us were going to be bringing to him.
Yeah, you know what's really disappointing to me is you and I, and I've always had a great relationship with Deontay. And look, he did not give me an interview. I wasn't there, but obviously it would have been the same results. But, you know, we've always had a really good relationship. I even texted him during, you know, this last year to see how he was doing. And so, you know.
Did he respond?
No response, but it's all good. But I did hit him up to see how he was doing and wish him a happy birthday. And, you know, you did that nice little profile on him last year. And it sounds like little, but it was a nice profile on Deontay last year that you did before the fight with Fury, detailing, you know, all he's doing in Alabama. You even went to his gym in Alabama to do it. So yeah. I would hope that he would appreciate that kind of stuff. But I guess he feels slighted now. And, you know, I don't really know. I don't know where his headspace is at. But what doesn't sit well with me, Lance, and I'm sure it doesn't sit well with you either, like you said, is this guy really levied some heavy accusations against Tyson Fury, and accusations that don't have any basis. You know, if he has proof, he should show it or explain where his head's at with this. He calls Tecol Fury a cheater. Tecol Mark Breland, double, you know, Two-Face and a double agent and all this. And then not answer any questions. Does not sit well with me. If he didn't make those accusations and he didn't feel like talking, you know, I still wouldn't love it, but I would have less of a problem with it. That's my two cents.
No, and Tyson Fury made some very educated and smart comments about, you know, this whole situation. He said, look, you know, this is the fight game. There's no shame in losing a fight. I mean, it's a hard business. Let's be honest. Someone has to lose in there. And, you know, you shake the guy's hand. You say, hey, you were the better man that night. I'm going to make myself better, and I'm going to see you next time. That's all Deontay Wilder had to say. And everyone would say, you know what? Can't wait to see the next fight with Deontay. You know, obviously these guys had a great first fight. Second fight went Fury's way. But Deontay Wilder can change the complexion of a fight with one punch. And like, look, the other thing that's at play, Mike, is that, you know, we can to say that like us as reporters were pissed off at Deontay. I mean, we can figure out how to write a story without his quotes. That's what, like, my favorite part is like the people who say like, oh, if I don't talk to you, you don't have a story. You know, bullshit. I've got a story anyway, you know, yeah. And believe me, every time that story is going to be published. So get over that, you know, thought. But, you know, he pissed off his bosses, for lack of a better term, the PBC. I mean, whatever kind of exposure he got from his side, you know, interviews with, you know, these YouTubers and some other people who again, I think were posing very deferential type questions to him that were, you know, very favorable. You can, you know, I don't want to say it, you know, I'm not going to say these guys are like jock sniffers, but, you know, it was favorable questioning, you know what I'm saying? These guys were not asking the questions that needed to be asked. And,
we really are going out with a bang on the final episode.
It needs to be said.
The jock snippers. Oh man.
It needs to be said, Mike. But the thing is that who he really pissed off is some people at PBC, because like whatever kind of traction he got from these side interviews he did, it would have been amplified, you know, probably like 80 times if he had talked to everyone.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with talking to me. It has to do with everyone else that was in that room. All those people were interested in selling Deontay Wilder's July 24th fight in Las Vegas. And we're still doing that right now, right? But it could have been a greater amplification of that. And let's be honest, you know, on the heels of the last fight and knowing that a lot of people are looking at this fight as saying Tyson Fury is going to have his way again, he needed to provide some more drama and some more theater for people to be interested in this bout. Let's step aside right now for a break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And one thing I want to clarify, and again, this is a small segment because I know that the people who criticize are always the loudest on Twitter. There is a lot of good on Twitter, a lot of supportive people, but for that minority of people that, you know, throw shade and say the old media, there is no old media. There's media. And then there's, you know, this other, like you said, these people that act like fans for the most part. I wouldn't call it old media. I would say there's paid media, professional media. And then,
right,
you know, the rest. And some of those people do a good job and turn out to, you know, make a big channel, get a nice following. More power to them. You know, I don't hate on anyone.
They absolutely hustle. They absolutely hustle.
Yeah, I don't hate on anybody trying to make a living or trying to make their way in this sport. You know, more power to them. But this old media thing, I don't know if I understand old media. But and also I will say, I think there's also a big disconnect with some of these fans and how the media actually works. They don't understand. You, Lance Pugmire, had to go to the editors and probably fight and plead for the budget money to travel to Alabama to do that profile. No one was begging you to do a Deontay Wilder profile in Alabama. I know how hard you probably had to push for that. And that's the same at every outlet. especially when you're covering a niche sport like boxing. No one said, you know, outside of the big, big, big fights, no one says go to this fight. I remember being at USA Today and having to plead with them to let me cover Deontay Wilder against Chris Areola in Alabama. That wasn't a big fight, but I thought Deontay deserved it. And I still think, you know, I still think he's a major player and I still think he deserves the coverage.
Of course.
So, but Blaise, can you talk about, you know, you've been in this game longer than me. Can you talk about the disconnect where, you know, people don't understand how hard we have to push to do these stories? Because I just think it gets lost on sometimes the fighters too.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true, Mike. And look, I think that, you know, I go back to no one wants to hear how difficult a sports reporter's job is. I don't think, because I think a lot of people kind of dismiss it as fun and games and stuff like that. I get all of that. I think from my standpoint is and I truly believe this. I think that the fans out there, they understand who's giving them what. This is this is going to be an interview with Deontay Wilder that is going to allow him to say his piece, but it's not going to really, you know, call him to the carpet on some of the tough questions that need to be asked. You know what I'm saying? Like those interviews that took place, people who are watching that, they're likely big fans of Deontay Wilder. And I get that. And I respect it, you know, and like we cater to those people. I mean, I loved Deontay being available for me to me on the heels of like an Anthony Joshua fight over in the UK. Hey, Deontay, what did you think of that fight? He picks up the phone and he tells me. And people do want to know that. But I still think there always needs to be some type of scrutiny that's inserted into a story. And look, you know, Mike, because you deal with publicists and promoters just like I do. They always call you and say like, oh, why'd you have to add in that snide little comment? You have to add your 2 cents somewhere along the lines. Yes, I do. Because you have to apply some skepticism and some truth to the stories that you're reporting on. You can't, it can't be a one-sided thing. You know, it has to, we are striving, me and you, you know, paid, having worked hard to get to this position that we're at, these positions that we are at. You know, there's an obligation to try to strive for the truth. And I believe that the majority of readers and the people who listen to the show understand that if they listen to Pug and Cop, that's what they're going to get. You know, they're going to get the truth. And we're not going to, you know, try to sugarcoat stuff. Both sides will be covered equally. And, you know, make your judgment from there. You're smart enough to do that. You don't need it to be such a one-sided thing to where you just want to hear what you want to hear. Our country's been in trouble because of that type of journalism, and it applies, you know, politically. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. So that's where we're coming from.
And I want to say, too, look, we're not looking for a thank you for doing a story. It's not a thank you or anything. It's just explaining that. That there's not a, you know, if we're doing a profile because we chose to, that's all I'm explaining. No one's saying that. I'm grateful to have this, you know, to do something really fun for a living, not asking anyone to feel bad for us or anything like that. But I do want to say Deontay has always been really gracious in the past. So I do wonder where his headspace is at. This is a tough fight. I don't think people understand how good Tyson Fury is, because even I underestimated him before. I mean, this guy, don't be fooled by his physique. This guy is in great condition. I watched him train in Miami, you know, last month. The other guys are having a hard time keeping up with him. And how many fighters can box, you know, just as well going backward as they can going forward? Two guys, maybe? Canelo and Fury? I mean, who else is there? You know, maybe Terrence Crawford's in that, you know, kind of in that conversation, but not as well as those two guys. And Fury's taking this serious. He's training hard. And if Deontay Wilder can't accept that he lost, I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's, that helps him or hurts him, but he's going to have to answer some hard questions in that ring, I think. Forget about the media. Well, he's going to have to answer questions in the ring.
Well, yeah, exactly. And some of those questions that I know I wanted to ask on Tuesday were like, you know, I know you can't really give away your fight plan, but, you know, let's be honest. I mean, you do need to do some things differently. How do you think you expect to tweak things? What are you doing differently in the gym with your new trainer, Malik Scott? And while, you know, Malik Scott was able to say some things, it's not coming from the horse's mouth. And that's what we wanted. And in my opinion, that's what the public deserved.
And
we're just a conduit to the public at the end of the day.
That's it.
These are your fans, you know?
And I do think, you know, without seeing him fight yet, I do think the move to Malik Scott is a good one because he seems to obviously have a great rapport with Malik Scott. I think that's super important for the fighter trainer relationship is how well you get along. Malik Scott clearly understands and has sparred with him and fought him under maybe dubious circumstances, depending on who you ask, but sparred with him a lot. And they, you know, he seems to be really getting the most out of Deontay in training from everything he said. And, from the videos we see, he seems to be training hard. Seems to be in good shape, which he always is. Looking at this fight strategically, I think Deontay's only chance is he's going to have to throw a lot more punches. He's going to have to open up. He can't do what he did against Ortiz and against Tyson in the second fight and just, you know, look for openings here and there. I mean, he can, I guess, and hope he gets the shot like he did against Ortiz, but Fury's a different breed. I think you're going to have to punch with him and you know, open up and risk getting countered by Tyson. Because we know Tyson said it. Tyson told you, right? He said, what did he say? I'm a 16-wheeler in there.
18-wheeler. I'm going to run him over.
I'm sorry.
18-wheeler. Yeah.
18-wheeler. And he said he wants to bulk up to 300 pounds. And this guy's going to come straight forward. And I think it's the smartest strategy. I think it's so smart coming forward against the puncher. Smother Deontay Wilder's punches. Deontay needs full extension on those shots. Smother him, push him backward. Use your size and mass and strength in there and just be the bully. I think he's going to bully him once again. My prediction is Fury is going to knock him out. I don't think it's going to be a TKO this time. I think it's going to be a KO.
Wow.
What do you think?
I mean, I agree with you that the superiority of Tyson Fury's boxing is it definitely has to make him a very strong favorite in this fight. But you know, as Ben Davison told me, Tyson Fury's former trainer, you know, what, and you're right, what you said, Mike, as well. Wilder has no choice except to just let it go, almost like a Hagler Hearns type first round. Just let that big right hand go. Hope that it lands. You're not going to be able to win this fight if it goes to the scorecards. Your one and only chance to win this fight is by knockout, and you've got to let that right hand fly early and often. And you know, yes, Tyson Fury is supremely confident that he has a plan to stop those punches from landing, but Deontay Wilder is very confident in what he's going to be able to execute. And I, you know, in talking to some other PBC officials that I spoke to, and I know they're PBC, you know, connected to Wilder, they're very confident that he is going to be able to land those punches that he landed on him in the first fight to knock down and knock out Tyson Fury. I mean, this fight does have some very interesting angles to it. And I think that it's, but I think it's going to be a very heated bout that I think is probably going to be decided within five rounds, Mike.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's going to be an explosive fight. And I'm not going to count Deontay Wilder out entirely, of course. The guy can punch. He's still the most dangerous puncher in the sport. And what do I know? I picked Deontay Wilder to win the first two fights. And, you know, what I think is your questionable scorecard, Lance, from the first fight aside.
No, that was accurate.
I had the first fight 118 to 1. I think it was what? 118 to 112? 110? No, well, because it was two knockdowns, right? It would be, I think it was 118-112. Am I saying that right? But either way, I had Fury winning every single round except for the two rounds he was knocked down. And I think you added a draw. Is that right?
Yes. I scored it for Wilder. Oh, yeah, I scored it for Wilder by 1 point.
But yeah, horrible scorecard. But
Well, I don't think so.
Well, you had the same scorecard as a certain other writer, so.
He's being canceled.
He's canceled. Canceled. So yeah. But that's how I know it wasn't a good card. But look, I picked Wilder the first two times. Now I'm picking Fury. We'll see. But I will say, when we were talking about Fury and Joshua, I had zero interest in Wilder and Fury during the third fight. I find myself really excited for this fight. I think it's going to be a big, big fight. I'm excited to see how it does on pay-per-view. The first fight did like between 850 and 9 on pay-per-view, 900,000 pay-per-view buys in the U.S. What do you think it's going to do this time?
Probably around like 700. I think that you make a great point though, Mike, that's actually part of the intrigue of this fight is that we were so close to getting Fury Joshua, and now, you know, we need this to happen, you know, these two guys to win for that fight to occur, or, you know, Deontay Wilder, you know, throws a wrench into the whole machine. So that, you know, that's why a lot of people I think will tune in. It's like they those that were, you know, so anticipating Fury fighting Joshua, they want to see Fury win to be able to get closer to that fight with Joshua's fight against Alexander Usyk still to come in September.
Exactly. So, you know, we're going to see. But Lance, I think we're going to listen real quick now to some highlights from your interview with Tyson Fury earlier this week. So let's check in with that right now.
Tyson, what did you think of his silent treatment?
I don't think much of it. Deontay Wilder's an idiot, and I don't condone idiots too much. So
talk about the mental games of this fight. Do you feel like you've fully penetrated this guy mentally?
100%. He's mentally wounded. He's like a wounded animal. Yeah, I think he's lost before he gets in there. It's an early night for me.
Do you expect him to change his fighting style? I mean, he seemed like he was so deliberate in his start last time. Will he come full tilt at you?
Same thing. Full attack, and he get knocked out.
So you're ready for that from the start?
100%. I was ready last time, and I'm ready today.
Do you expect any him to do anything different?
Like, no, there's nothing different he can do, to be fair.
Yeah. What about your guys' relationship from the first fight, when you were so appreciative for him giving you the fight? Second fight, it started to get a little more tense to this. Now it's like there's almost like hatred between you.
I don't hate the guy. I don't hate anybody. You know, it's... It's not from my end. I'm doing my job here as a boxer, as a champion, defending my title, and that's it. Whatever they want to think, believe in their own mind, is up to them.
Do you think him not
step back. Go on. No problem. Keep him there. You don't want them all on top of you. Keep him back. Away from me with COVID.
Go on, stand back. Stand back, please.
Stand back. Let him step back. Take him back a little bit more.
Back.
It'll make a difference. He's a one by up. Let him back. Okay, that's perfect. Fine.
Do you think with him not wanting to talk, is that his focus will make him different for this fight?
I don't know. I don't think the talking has much to do with the fighting on the night. That's it. Any more questions? Anything else?
How good do you feel going into this fight? I mean, you talked about the best you've ever been, you think?
Always good. You know, when you're training, you're fit and you're active, you're always good.
Last fight, you talked about doing different things, different training tactics to be better prepared for this fight. What have you done differently to prepare for this fight?
Not much. Much of the same, to be fair. It's just a fight. You know, Deontay Wilder, I've already defeated him before twice. What's he going to bring to the table? I don't know. We'll find out.
Do you feel like there's any way you can beat him in any more convincing fashion than you did last time to prove that what happened?
Not really. I don't think you can get much of a more one-sided affair than the last fight. But, you know, hopefully I'm going to take him out early this time. 7 rounds he lasted last time, which was a long time to get beat up on and whatever. So this time I'm hoping to take him out early. 1, 2, 3
Tyson,
rounds max.
There's an old saying.
In response to the cheating that you were led to do during the fight, what's your response to the alleged cheating that you were doing in that last fight?
Say that again.
What's your response to the alleged cheating you were doing in the last fight?
Yeah, I had two turbo binders right here, one here, left and a right. Turbo jets.
I was wondering if you think of the costume kind of excuses that he may have.
I don't know. All the excuses, combine them all together, they're not worth listening to be fair. It's all a load of shite. When he got battered, and he's going to get battered again.
What do you think he'll wear to the ring this time?
Hopefully zero. Nothing, then he can't make any excuses.
When he made all those excuses, he said you'd never give him a fight again because of how disrespectful that was. How do you feel now that you're forced to fight this guy again? That you really don't want to give another fight?
Listen, it is what it is. The judge has made his decision. We're fighting here because, not because I want to give Wilder another fight, because I don't. He doesn't deserve one. But because the judge has ordered it and we can't go against what the judge has said. And that's
it. Do you have a knockout prediction?
Yep, inside the first 3 rounds.
So wearing no shirt initially during the press conference, was that intimidation factor?
No, that's just me being the Gypsy King.
Do you want to make this fight an exclamation point?
No, this fight's just another routine fight for me. Another boxer, another bear bomb in the shower. That's all it is.
Sugar Hill talked about you developing one punch knockout power. Where did that come from?
Gift from God. And I'm going to showcase it on the night.
Tyson, how do you feel about winning the stare down? I mean, you basically, you know, he turned away eventually.
He didn't want to be there. It was a mental thing that he was trying, but he needed someone to rescue him because he didn't want to be there. He was uncomfortable stood up there looking at me. You know, I'd have been staying here now.
Why do you think he didn't answer any questions?
Because he's a shithouse. Hey, Tyson. How about that?
Tyson, how's Billy Joe doing?
What's your take on all the stuff he said following the fight?
I think he's an excuse maker, and we're all tired of excuse making people. You know, in boxing, you win some, you lose some. There's always somebody better out there on the night. You get beat by a better man on the night. Where I come from, you shake his hand and you say, fair play. I'll get you next time. That's it. No more.
Are you pretty confident that the AJ fight, given a victory in July, that...
I don't know. I can't look past Deontay Wilder. One fight at a time. That's all I do. One fight at a time.
Is that the same suit that you wore last time when you won it?
No, this is actually another suit. This is a reminder of what happened to him last time. There's me on the throne. There's me dressed in the king's outfit. And there's a picture. There's me with the belt that I won off him as well. So this is a remembrance suit of Deontay Wilder's ass kicking 18 months ago.
Guys, what was it like working out with Nick Diaz?
Hey?
What was it like working with Nick Diaz, training with Nick Diaz?
Yeah, it was good. Nick's a nice guy. We got on great. It was good stuff, good fun.
Is it hard at all to pivot from the Joshua fight? I mean, that deal was done to Wilder again. I mean, is it sort of a letdown where the air goes out of you a little bit?
It is a letdown. It's a big letdown. But we're here in this situation, and we're going to fight. That's it. No more, no less to be said. I'm a fighting man. Whether it's Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, Usyk, whoever it's going to be, we'll fight.
Do you hope the Brits can get over here? I know that there's...
I'm sure that they're going to open the borders up and, you know... And if they don't, they'll have got enough American fans over here to make it a one-sided affair.
Tyson, did it surprise you that Deontay didn't want to say anything to you?
No, not really. What's he going to say? I think we've all had enough of his excuses, so probably the best thing he didn't speak, because then no one could ask him any questions about why he was saying all that stuff, so... Probably good. Good idea, actually.
Are you disappointed in that? Were you kind of looking for answers yourself to some of the things you've
been
saying?
No, I'm not looking. I'm not soul-searching, you know. I'm good with everything.
You didn't want, like, were you kind of maybe expecting an explanation for some of this?
No, I'm not interested. People say stuff when they're under immense pressure and they're mentally unwell and they're in a fragile state. So, you know, and that's the way I see Deontay Wilder at the moment.
With all those things that he said, does that just instill any more confidence in you? Like you said, you're from a place where you're...
Yeah, it's just, it's a fight. It's a fight, you know, and we're going to have a fight and we're going to do what we do, get paid for it.
Do you feel like eyes are going to be on you even closer this time for pre-fight preparations due to the allegations of last time?
I don't care. Bring him in. I'm like Houdini. Like I said, I've already got a V12 there and a 1600 valve there. I can sneak him in anywhere because they're a part of me. So, you know, they can sneak as many people as they want in. But
how
I am
much,
like
how
Houdini.
How much do you think you've improved since the last fight?
I've improved at least 60% since the last fight. I've been working with Sugar now constantly for like 15, 16 months. We've had 5 training camps back to back. And Deontay Wilder's in for a very big shock.
So much more confident, obviously, right?
How are you planning on putting on that weight?
Bananas.
Tyson, given that you want to weigh a little bit more, a big part of your arsenal is your speed, your movement, your fluidity. Do you think that affects that at all, gaining a little bit more weight?
No, I'm not looking for movement or speed. I'm just looking for a knockout, like I did last time.
Tyson, it's about to promote the fight. The people are waiting for Wilder to talk. How disrespectful is for you that Wilder doesn't speak with the people, not even with the press?
Yeah, it's crazy, you know, it's he's letting himself down, letting his fans down, letting the people of America down, the American media. People have come here to interview him, to see what he's got to say and, you know, promote the fight. So you all guys are doing a fantastic job, and I thank everybody who's came here today. I've done my end, and it's up to him to do his bit, so it's up to him. Whatever he wants.
You bring something very important, the gut topic you mentioned about gut. Could you explain us, please, because it's very important for you.
Yeah, very important, you know. Wilder got up today. And he said thank you to his Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, which is a brilliant thing, because now I'm very happy that he's been introduced to the Lord, because before it was his God versus my God, and he had some God, some idol God or whatever he was worshipping, and it didn't work for him. So now I'm happy that he's in the light, the true light.
Thank you, sir.
Tyson, you said up on stage that you would play his part. So I'm going to ask you a question. Fury, why didn't you want to talk to the media?
Because I'm a shithouse pussy, and I couldn't take what the media was going to say.
Tyson, given that the fight that you were scheduled to have was against Anthony Joshua. Is there a part of you that you want to let out your frustration or your disappointment out on Wilder?
I'm not disappointed. I'm very blessed and very happy to be alive. The Lord has blessed me abundantly and truly, and I'm very thankful to be here. I'm in this position where I'm going to put on another great exhibition, and that's it. Everything happens for a reason, and I've been led to this point for a reason, and we're going to deal with the job in hand.
Because I know a lot of fans are disappointed that we don't ever get an undisputed fight when we're so close to getting one.
Yeah, you know, the undisputed don't mean a lot to me anyway. I'm just looking for scalps.
Stop that. Tyson, in 2012, Emmanuel Stewart
said...
Tyson, given the way you finished the second fight and looking at him mentally, can he do anything differently?
I'm not sure, but the one thing I can guarantee is we'll find out in 6 weeks' time.
We'll be right back after this.
All right, we are back. You heard it right there from the man himself, the Gypsy King, Tyson Fury. My takeaway, Lance, is this guy is supremely confident. I mean, I don't think he's overlooking Deontay, but he seems to be, you know, beyond confident that he's going to take care of him and do it in spectacular fashion this time.
Yeah, I mean, Tyson Fury has been through, you know, some mental struggles himself, and he's dealt with those very effectively, as you pointed out. I mean, and as he has said, you know, basically, I've been training here for like the last 16 months. I feel very, very sharp. I'm in the best shape of my life. And I think because he's conquered those mental battles, he feels sort of, you know, empowered to weigh in on Deontay Wilder's mental wherewithal. And so is it probably a little too bold on his part? Yes, but he absolutely went there again and again during the news conference. And those opinions, you know, were very, very lively. Tyson Fury is a one-of-a-kind character. And like his promoter, Bob Arum, said, you know, he brings a lot of joy and light to the heavyweight division. The heavyweight champion needs not only to be a strong fighter and a great athlete, but a personality. And Tyson Fury is definitely that.
Yep. And, you know, moving on, we had some unfortunate news this week with Teofimo Lopez testing positive for COVID. And symptomatic out of that, canceling the anticipated fight Saturday. Well, I say anticipated. I was looking forward to it. I know some people were maybe looking forward to it, but between Teofimo Lopez and George Kambosos for, you know, four 135-pound titles. So that fight is off. The entire card is off. I'm personally bummed, too, because I was going to be the unofficial judge on the broadcast, Jim Lampley, which would have been so awesome, of course. Wow. And I was also going to be do the entire prelims, the 6-fight prelims on Fight TV as the analyst. It should be my first time doing that. So bummed I'm not going to be able to do that, but all good. You know, I hope Teofimo Lopez feels better and gets well soon. And, you know, I've seen some speculation on Twitter, people saying, well, is Lopez vaccinated? Is he not vaccinated? And if he's not vaccinated, should he be? What's your take on that?
I think he should be vaccinated at this point. I mean, there's a lot of dollars on the line in this fight, and I'm not gonna make this a HIPAA case, Mike, and talk about whether or not you've been vaccinated. But I will volunteer that I was vaccinated, and you know, look, I was a little bit tired and run down, but I took two big Tylenols, and I felt a lot better after about 2 hours after the second shot. So look, I mean, there was so much at stake. You know, you would have hoped, and this has happened like in the sports that we love too, baseball. You know, I know my team, the Padres, have been affected by a rash of positive COVID cases as well. You would have thought like, hey guys, you know, like there's a lot on the line here, man. You know, make sure that you're covered and as much as you can and get vaccinated so you're ready for this for the battles ahead. And Teofimo Lopez, you know, I would have thought the same thing. You know, I haven't seen him come out and say whether he was or not, or, you know, what he did, but it's a shame that this fight falls by the wayside, because it goes to August 14th. Now, George Kambosos, I think, is going to give Teofimo a better fight than people will expect. And like, I know you were looking forward to it for all your reasons. I was looking forward to it just to watch, you know, and see how Teofimo does. And basically, after elevating to a, you know, basically stand as the undisputed lightweight champion of the world, I wanted to see how he would do in his first opportunity in that position. So we'll just, you know, have to hold on and wait until August. And I, you know, I spoke to Jim Lampley myself, where we'll have a Q&A with him on The Athletic on Monday. And he was going to be back ringside. You know, he was chomping at the bit for that opportunity. So a lot of people were, you know, in that position where they wanted to see this take place. We'll get there. You know, it's just going to have to hold on for a little bit.
Yeah, man, it was so cool. Even just doing a production call with Jim Lampley last week. That guy is amazing. I can see why he's so good at what he does, why he's the GOAT. And I agree. I think it was going to be a really exciting fight. Of course, I was picking Lopez. But Kambosos only fights one way, and that's come straight forward. And he's, you know, he's gutsy and ballsy in there. I think it was going to be a fun fight, but we'll see it in August now, with the fight slated for August 14th at the moment, which is the same day as my favorite, Guillermo Rigondeaux, fighting against Johnny Casimero. So that'll be on the same date now. Summer's getting pretty packed, Lance. And I will say, I saw about, did you talk to Bob? Because I saw Bob with some comments on the vaccines, and I saw him say that Fury and Wilder are indeed vaccinated. I am also vaccinated, and I will say though that it is a personal choice. I agree it's a personal choice, but if we look at the professional sports leagues, like you mentioned, we see the NFL really, really relaxing restrictions on people that are vaccinated and, you know, anything but the people that aren't. So I do think there is some level of responsibility you have to the event, maybe, if you're competing in one of these, in whatever sport you're in, to your teammates. But I'm sure this is going to be a debate that rages on for a while.
Yeah, I did not see those comments from Bob Arum, Mike. During that point, I was talking to some other people, but I do know that he did hold in a pretty extended scrum with a lot of guys.
You know, also, Lance, we have the news from that Oscar De La Hoya's comeback opponent, and I said comeback, it's going to be an exhibition, is going to be a former UFC champion Vito Belfort. So that's going to be September 11th as of now. Maybe Las Vegas, Triller Fight Club. And I just got an email from a site saying that Belfort's opening up as a minus 140 favorite. And since it's an exhibition, winner will be graded only by a KO, TKO, or DQ. What are your thoughts there?
Wow. I mean, look, this guy, Vitor Belfort, age 44, had a 26-14 record in his MMA career. You know, actually won a fight at, I mean, look, where what UFC 263 now. He won a fight at UFC 12, Mike.
Crazy.
You know, ended up having some PED issues, you know, was participating briefly in that testosterone replacement therapy thing that some guys were doing, and had a fight nixed because of that. Also had a PED issue following a 2006 Pride loss to Dan Henderson, the great slugger, that, you know, later stood as a UFC champion. You know, look, Vitor Belfort has significant power, no doubt about it, and he is a very fit and strong guy. So I think from that standpoint, that's probably why the odds makers are siding with him. Can Oscar De La Hoya, you know, really get close to getting back into the type of shape that he says that he's in? You know, it seems like Oscar he goes back and forth. You know, sometimes he's in great shape. Other times you look at him and you're like, you know, like when he was on that Triller broadcast, you're like, can this guy really fight anymore? You know, so I think that's probably weighing on the minds of the odds makers. You know, who can they trust to have remained in supreme shape? And obviously that's Vitor Belfort in their minds.
Yeah, Lance, absolutely. That seems to be the case there. And moving
on. That's going to be, Mike, September 11th on that fight. Is that going to be the date?
September 11th, yeah. Same date as the much anticipated, at least for me, unification between Brandon Figueroa and Stephen Fulton on Showtime at 122 pounds. So that's the same date as that. And, you know, Canelo, is still looking at September 18th for a potential fight with Caleb Plant, which I do expect to happen. Yeah. So. But Lance, moving on to some real fights, and you know, unfortunately, we're saying this a lot on this broadcast. And sorry, broadcast is on this podcast. But you know, we have three fights this weekend, and all seem to be pretty big mismatches. Although the A-sides, and at least the A-sides and two of them are really good fighters. We have Jermall Charlo against Juan Montiel. Charlo should absolutely drill him. And everyone knows I'm high on the Charlos, but, you know, it's hard to get too excited about that fight other than to see how, you know, how Charlo knocks him out, I would suspect. Of course, then we have the monster Naoya Inoue fighting against Michael Dasmarinas of the Philippines. Should be another, should be more drillage, so to speak. Inoue is my number two pound fighter in the world. That's going to be on ESPN Plus. Charlo Montiel on Showtime. And then on the, I think it's in the afternoon, we have Jaime Munguia against Camille Zerameta of Triple G fame. So
yeah,
that'll probably be the most competitive fight, I suspect. I'm not that high on Munguia. I think he's a really fun fighter, but I think he's a little bit limited. I don't know. I guess I'm probably looking most forward to Inoue just because I love watching that guy fight.
Absolutely, Mike. I mean, look, I talked to him briefly earlier this week. Kind of a tough guy to interview, to be honest. I think the longest response I got lasted about like 8 words through an interpreter. But look, he lets his fist do the talking, and he knows that he needs to post a lot of consecutive knockouts to really connect with the American audience. He actually, we talked about the popularity of Shohei Ohtani with the Angels, you know, receiving some MVP consideration given everything he's doing, acting like Babe Ruth, you know, pitching and hitting for the Angels so well. You know, but what he needs to do is get to what he wants to do in a way is to try to unify that division. You know, the problem is he's got to wait out because Nonito Donaire is holding a belt, and he's going to be waiting for the winner of the Casimiro Rigondo winner, and that's in August. So that fight has to transpire, you know, and in a way it could be like on the sidelines waiting for that to take place. He said he's willing to wait until next year, but he really wants to try to have all four belts at the 100 at his division, 118 pound division, and then from that point, then he would consider moving up and trying to stand as a four division champion.
Yeah, I mean, it would be fascinating to see Inoue get a 122 against guys like Stephen Fulton. Man, that would be an awesome fight. Obviously, assuming Fulton beats Figueroa last, but.
And you could, Mike, I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but you know, let's say if Estrada defeats Chocolatito, would whoever wins that fight, would one of those guys move up to take on the monster? You know, that would be interesting, right?
Yeah, that could be super interesting for sure. And that would be even bigger if we can get, especially Estrada, he's bigger than Chocolatito, but Chocolatito versus Inoue, especially in Japan, because we know Chocolatito's pretty big over there too. You know, I think he's had some training camps over in Japan. He's lived there part time, I believe. That would be amazing. But I really hope we can get a lot of these fights done, Lance, because boxing can really be on a big upswing if we get the fights made. But I wanted to say, when you mentioned Ohtani before, you know, our good buddy Dylan Hernandez of the LA Times, he told me, hey, if you're a betting man, I would bet on Ohtani for MVP. And this is before the season started. So,
wow.
And I did not listen to him. So, you know, we're going to see how this plays out. I might be regretting.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting. The other stuff this week, Mike, is, you know, for Jermall Charlo, I mean, I think we're both pretty big fans, significant talent.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just like he doesn't have anyone to fight. And I would hope that, you know, that this will ultimately lead him to take on a fight with David Benavidez, because we know Triple G is going to be tied up, as you've reported, you know, through the end of the year with the end of the year fight against Murata. Canelo is going to be tied up. I mean, maybe Munguia, you know, I mean, they are fighting on the same weekend. The calendar lines up.
Not for Munguia for Charlo.
Yeah. But I don't think that's going to happen with Heyman and Golden Boy, right?
Well, this is Munguia's last fight with Golden Boy, as far as I know. So I guess it could happen.
There you go. Oh, okay.
But I think Charlo would absolutely smash him, to be honest. Although I do want to see the fight. I think it'll be a fun fight while it lasts. For me, the fight to make, and it's not going to happen, unfortunately, is Charlo against Triple G. But we're not going to get that. I think I want to see Charlo versus David Benavidez. That's the fight for me.
Yeah, me too. I really want to see that. Charlo's big enough to move up to 168 if he needs to. for that fight. And Benavides is a very entertaining guy. He's been I had him on basically just a video interview, and it was so interesting in really saying like how badly he wants that fight. So look, both those guys are in house at PBC. Maybe the stars can align and they can get together for the sake of big money, you know?
Yeah. We'd love to see it, Lance. And, you know, I don't have anything else to say. I don't know what else you have left, but you know, it was, for me, it was a lot of fun doing this show. I think I definitely learned a lot, and I felt like we both grew together maybe during this podcast. But most of all, I want to say a big, big thank you to our producer, Cam Molina. He was awesome. Whether it was pestering me or you to promote the show nonstop, which I appreciate, and I could have done a better job of, and you know, getting us on schedule, keeping us organized, editing the show, last minute requests, you name it. You were an all-star, Cam. We appreciate you. And we also appreciate you, the listeners. Thank you for supporting the show, whoever you are. We really appreciate that as well. Lance?
Yeah, I mean, I hate goodbyes. I'm terrible at goodbyes. I moved a lot when I was a child, and I just always hated moving, and I feel like I'm moving again. But I got to say this, Mike. I mean, I know we're moving in different directions, but I'm sure you're still going to have a voice to the audience. You know, as God is my witness, I promise you that I will, you know, try to fight to try to continue some kind of like audio show to my readers in the future. And I'm looking forward to that day, Mike, because I know that we both have still have a lot of things that we want to say and still a lot of big fights to cover. And I'm looking forward to being ringside with you, hanging out at Fight Weeks and talking about not only all we accomplished in the past together, but, you know, what lies before us in the future. So thank you so much. Congratulations on your success. And thank you, Cam. And like you said, thank you to the listeners. We would not be here without you.
And don't say goodbye just yet, Lance. And we'll see you at Fury Wilder. It's going to be a lot of fun. So it's not goodbye.
Great.
And hey, you know what? I just know that we're going to land that big Deontay Wilder together when we're there. It's coming.
Let's hope.
All right. Thanks, everyone.